Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. One week ago today, a man who said there is no God, a man who ridiculed Christians, entered the Sutherland Springs Baptist Church during the service and, with malice aforethought, murdered 26 people and injured 20. The families of Sutherland Springs Church and their friends are grieving now and will grieve for some time. Yet they do not grieve as unbelievers do, who have no hope. They believe in the resurrection of the dead in Christ because they believe in the resurrection of Christ. St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." It is difficult for one to be separated from those he loves, even for a short time. A man leaves his home to go to work, and he and his wife and children, although they expect him to return in the evening, feel the pangs of separation. A mother sends her child to school in the morning, and she is saddened all day by the child's absence. A man and his wife divorce, and they are heartbroken, as are their children. A man goes to war, and he and his family weep, because they know it will be a long time before he returns, if ever he will. Death is the ultimate and the most sorrowful separation of all. This is so for a number of reasons. When someone dies, the one who loves him is separated from him with no hope of reunion in his lifetime. He must live in the absence of the one he loves, and this is painful. Furthermore, people instinctively sense that death is not right. To see a loved one's lifeless remains is to see what ought not to be, to see what is unnatural. In death, the once animated body of a person lies still, and it lies still because it has no life in it. One may caress the face of a departed loved one, but the loved one cannot caress in return. There is more. The Christian believes something the pagan does not, that it was man's sin that brought death into the world. God had warned the first man, Adam, that if he disobeyed, then he would die. The wages of sin is death. Adam's sin brought sin and death to the whole world of mankind. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is not simply unnatural. It is a punishment for sin, and this makes death especially grievous. To see someone in death is to see the awful consequences of sin. All of this is captured in the episode with Jesus' friend, Lazarus. Lazarus became very sick, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus, knowing that he had the power to heal him. Jesus, however, waited 2 days until he departed. Jesus told his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep." The disciples misunderstood. They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was merely sleeping. Jesus, however, compared the death of Lazarus to sleep because his death was only temporary, and Jesus would soon wake him from it. By the time Jesus reached Lazarus, he had been dead for 4 days. When Jesus saw Mary and the others weeping at the grave, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. St. John tells the reader, in words so poignant as they are brief, Jesus wept. Jesus, the author of life, who would raise Lazarus from the state of death back to the state of life, could not help but to grieve at the death of Lazarus, whom he loved. Man is responsible for death because death is the consequence of man's sin. Yet, it is the devil who instigated man to sin. It was he who, with malice aforethought, enticed Eve to sin and to lead her husband to sin so that mankind would die. The Lord Jesus said of the devil that he was a murderer from the beginning. Not only does the devil tempt men to sin, but he stands before God to accuse them when they do. St. Paul wrote of the devil that he is the accuser of our brethren, which accuse them before our God day and night. So Satan accused Job. So God showed to Zechariah, Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him, that is to say, to accuse him. Satan had the power of death, St. Paul wrote to the Hebrews, not only because he tempts men to sin, but because he accuses them before God. Men fear death, not so much because it leads to what is unknown to them, as because it leads to what is known. Deep down, men know the consequences of their sins. They know, although they may deny it, the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. So they live in fear of death, because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. In this way, the devil has kept men enslaved to fear of death. They are afraid to die, because they are afraid to stand before the tribunal of God. They are without hope in the world. The Son of God became incarnate, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. St. John tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Christian has no such fear of death as the unbeliever has. He knows that in Christ he is forgiven and liberated. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Christ has died for the Christian's sins, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to give him power to obey. The Christian knows by faith that his sins are forgiven and that he stands righteous before God. He knows that he has been freed from the bondage of sin and that the Holy Spirit leads him to do what is right. The Christian, therefore, does not fear to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Because he now trusts in Christ, he is confident that he now stands righteous before God and that he will be openly acknowledged and acquitted at the final judgment. Therefore, the Christian does not fear death. He knows that this life is not all there is. There is another life after this one. He knows that it is better to leave this world and be with God. The Christian knows these things because Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended to his Father. Because of Jesus' obedience to death, even death on the cross, God has made him ruler over all things. God did not allow Jesus to remain dead because he did not deserve to die. Jesus has defeated the devil and has overcome the world. He told his disciples, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus has defeated death and hell, and now he, and not the devil, rules over them. He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Jesus has the right to forgive men their sins, to give them eternal life, and raise them from the dead. He said, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Jesus has overcome the world, and those who are joined to him by faith also overcome the world. As St. John writes, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" The Christian is joined to Christ, and though he may die, Christ will raise him from the dead. Christians who die go to be with God. And when Christ returns for the resurrection and the final judgment, he will bring those Christians with him. He will bring them with him, and he will reunite them with those Christians who are alive. So St. Paul wrote, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." It is not as though Christ will return to this world and to receive those who are alive and leave behind those who have died. Rather, the Lord revealed to St. Paul that when Christ returns, those who have died in him, he will raise from the dead, and he will raise them before he meets those who are alive. Then, after the resurrection, all believers together will meet the Lord in the air. St. Paul calls the return of Christ the blessed hope. In the time of Christ, not everyone believed in the resurrection of the dead. Among the Jews, the Pharisees believed in it, but the Sadducees did not. The pagans did not believe in it, and some scoffed at the idea when St. Paul preached it to them. Jesus' resurrection proved once and for all the resurrection of the dead. His resurrection means that those who are joined to him by faith will be raised just as he was. Before Christ was raised from the dead, a few people had been raised: Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and Lazarus. However, before Christ was raised from the dead, no one was ever raised like him to eternal life with God, never to die again. Christians do yet die. However, Jesus' death and resurrection have taken the sting out of death. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What a joy it is to know that if the Christian dies, he goes to be with the Lord in glory. What a joy it is to know that Christ will one day return to this world to receive to himself those who believe in him. What a joy it is to know that when Christ returns, he will bring with him those who have died and will reunite them with those they left behind. St. Paul tells Christians to comfort each other with these words. That great writer of hymns, Isaac Watts, has written a hymn about how the Christian rests in peace while awaiting his glorious resurrection. Unveil thy bosom, faithful tomb, take this new treasure to thy trust, and give these sacred relics room to seek a slumber in the dust. Nor pain, nor grief, nor anxious fear invade thy bounds. No mortal woes can reach the peaceful sleeper here while angels watch his soft repose. So Jesus slept. God's dying Son passed through the grave and blessed the bed. Rest here, blessed saint, till from his throne the morning break and pierce the shade. Break from his throne, illustrious morn, attend, O earth, his sovereign word. Restore thy trust, a glorious form, called to ascend to meet the Lord. Among those murdered in the Sutherland Springs massacre were 9 members of the Holcomb family. Sarah Slavin, a member of the Holcomb family, who was not present at the massacre, said of her martyred family members, "They weren't afraid of death. They had a strong faith, so there's comfort in that. I feel like my parents, especially my mom, wasn't scared." One of the Holcomb family that survived the massacre is John Holcomb. He survived, but his wife Crystal and 4 of their children, including their unborn child, were killed. John and Crystal had chosen to name the baby Carlin, a Gaelic name that means little champion. The Holcomb family, like so many Christians before them, have overcome the world and now are with God in glory. John Holcomb and the other Christians who survived the Sutherland Springs massacre have suffered a great loss. Yet they do not grieve as unbelievers do. They know that their departed loved ones are with God in glory. They know that their separation is only temporary. They know that one day Christ will return, and he will reunite the living and the dead and all will be well. Let us not fear death, because we know that we stand righteous before God through faith in His Son. Let us not mourn the loss of our Christian loved ones as unbelievers mourn the loss of theirs, because we know that they are with God. Let us take comfort in knowing that Christ will return for those who live, and that He will bring with Him those they love, and that we will all be together with the Lord forever. Now unto the blessed and only Potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.